The following program is a paid production of Mike Novak, LLC. The opinions, rants, confessions, and lame jokes presented are not necessarily the views of WCPT or its parent corporation, NewsWeb Radio.
But Dr. Research, what has puzzled you scientists most about the sun?
Roll 9.
Oh, yeah. Even I can give you that in one word. Energy. This lady's parasol has 1.5 horsepower of sunshine continually poured on it. Enough to run her washing machine, sewing machine, refrigerator, and vacuum cleaner. In full sunlight, our family car receives almost enough sun power to run it, if we only knew how to use solar energy directly. At the common rate of 2 cents per kilowatt hour, the sun sends the Earth $1 billion worth of energy every second, and it's coming to us free. 5 minutes worth would pay our national debt. 1 minute's worth of the energy that hits the Earth would pay the total annual income tax of all United States citizens. Oh, happy day.
Yet what the Earth receives is only a minute fraction of the whole. Only one part in 2 billion of the total solar energy. The rest of the 500,000 billion billion horsepower goes out into space.
How does the sun generate this enormous amount of power, Dr. Research?
Yes, I don't eat, drink, or take vitamins. I never sleep or rest. Then how do I do it, Brother Scientist?
Well, we know at least part of your secret now.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find, temperate zones and tropic climes, true currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. To Mike, it's not just another banana peel. It's future dirt. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Hey, what town am I in? Man, this has just been a crazy week for me. Last week, I talked about how I'd been out to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and to Rockford and did a talk. And then this week, it got even stranger. Lisa! Good morning. How you feeling? I know you've been having issues with the voice. I'm almost afraid to ask. Turn on the microphone. What have we got there? Anything? All right. I'm not hearing it. So you might have to get Denny there to get the microphone on. And we'll see if Lisa has a voice. That will be, have we got it now?
Is that me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Denny, we got to have
every light on the board is now lit.
We got to have a lesson, Denny, on how to turn on the microphone in that little booth. That would be a good thing.
I hit the buttons. I just didn't know that I needed to slide the little bar up.
If you don't slide the bar up, there's no volume. That's kind of how that works.
So I have bronchitis.
Are you better?
Getting there. Mornings are rough. Mornings and night is rough.
So it's good that you're up
We'll keep my microphone off
on a Sunday morning, right? So this past week, I go off to Monday, Door County, in Wisconsin, to see a play reading, play that Kathleen wrote years ago, And that was really cool and really fun. It was the Peninsula Players up there, and they're a great group. And Greg Winkler, who's the artistic director, decided he wanted to do this play. And that was cool. And then, of course, get back to town on Tuesday. Wednesday, go to New York to see my own play, The Signal Season of Dummy Hoy, at the New York Deaf Theater. And that was fun. It was great. Saw a couple of performances of that. Got to walked around New York, went up to the Cloisters, which is really, really cool. And then mostly just sort of hung around for a couple of days. And then, unfortunately, you know, we flew out to New York. Now, especially if Amtrak Tim is listening. I love Amtrak, okay? I think rail service is great. We're kind of a mess in this country because we don't make that a priority. In fact, you know, our legislators are idiots because
I won't go to Springfield any other way. Amtrak.
Right.
Only way.
Except I got it was the trip from hell. All right. With apologies to people going to church on a Sunday morning.
That bad? What happened?
Well, we had the 5-year-old child, Satan's spawn, sitting opposite us. And, you know, this is an overnight trip. And Christy Weber here, by the way, is in studio, so I don't know how often you ride the train, but this was so the 5-year-old Satan spawn.
I have a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old child.
So now you know. Okay, yeah. Okay. Let this be a lesson then. This is a cautionary tale for you, okay, about how not to behave or have your kid behave on a train. All right. And it really wasn't the kid's fault. Mom had no clue how to deal with him, okay? That was the problem. Mom was the worst parent ever. And the kid got away with murder because every time she said something that she was going to do it, she didn't back it up. Never. Not once. Didn't back up anything. And so he realized he could do whatever he wants. And it was basically just being a kid, except at night when he decided he needed to sleep on both seats. Across both seats. And if mom tried to get in there at all, he'd go, no, no, no. I know. And this is all night long. And mom sat up right on the edge of the seat all night. I don't think she slept at all. I'm like, are you kidding? If that's my kid, get out of the way. I'm sleeping here.
Yeah.
Lean against me. You know, don't you think, Christy?
Yes, absolutely.
It's like, and then, of course, on our car, the bathroom kept locking itself automatically, so people couldn't get in it after a while. So they went to the other car, and, of course, because everybody's going to the other car, that I don't know how the water system works, but the bathroom at the back ran out of water. which is not a good thing on a train. And I'm 6'1", and I don't sleep particularly well in a seat. I have before, and you can get by with it, but the train was packed. I mean, everybody, it's a weekend, and nobody has any money in this country anymore, and so they're all riding the rails. Yeah. But we don't fix the rails. It's because we've got millionaires in Congress, and they don't give a darn about us. They don't give. You know, I'll tell you real quick, because we're going to break before we get in talking about horticultural stuff. I'll tell you the truth. I got towards the end of the period, registration period, I got my Obamacare. There we go.
Yay.
I got my Obamacare. And I hope there's some people who are, you know, who think, you know, I think we're past that point where people say, well, it's not going to work. Well, we got like 9 million people. Okay.
7.5 officially.
7.5, you add the Medicare folks.
Right. And the people who went direct and didn't go
right.
through the system.
So it's clear there's a need. And yeah, if some people lost their insurance, you're the exception. Deal with it, because there's 9 million people who are now getting care. Or if you're paying a little more, deal with it. That's what I say. So I could get mine. See, now the tables are turned, aren't they? Huh? You rich people. No, actually, I got mine, and I got a great deal. And for the first time in my entire life, I have good health care. I have good insurance for the first time in my life. I had.
Feel good. Feels good.
It's nice.
It's nice.
It's important.
The blanket.
Yeah. And
do you feel safer? Like,
yeah, I feel better. I feel safer. I mean, I can actually go to the doctor. You know, people like me, they put it off. They go, well, I can't afford that. I had a physical done a couple of years ago. $900
for a physical.
Just for a physical. This is why we're going to heck in a handbag. Right. We were because of that. You know, you shouldn't have to pay $900 for a physical. This is why people don't go to see their doctors,
right,
or didn't go to see their doctors. And this, right, is why we needed Obamacare or something even better. Single payer health care would have been better. But we've, I mean, all we're doing is putting money in the pockets of the insurance companies right now. And but at least they have to give us good health care, and they can't deny you coverage for prior conditions.
That's right.
You know?
And that pit in your stomach of, God, I hope I don't have a car accident or something that I can't control.
Oh, see, if I had a car. Yeah. Well, I always said, you know, if I get hit by a bus, I'm fine. Anything less than, you know, I'll go bankrupt, because it was this catastrophic and I'm just ridiculous. And I'm just happy, and I'm and there's a need in the country. And let me say this, because I don't talk about these issues, these kinds of issues on my show that much, because this whole radio station is devoted to those issues, and it's like, okay, all right. But at this point, I got to just say this. The idea that it was a disaster, yeah, the rollout was bad. So what? You know, now this whole debate
so
about
iPhone 5.
Yeah, exactly. And this whole idea of, well, Kathleen Sebelius is retiring in disgrace. And it's like, what? She got 7.5 million people to sign up, huh? What's your problem, dude? And it's because
they went low bid. They went on low bid. You know,
right.
They went on low bid for the computer,
which was really stupid.
Well,
and you know that as a business person.
That's how everything works.
It works low bid.
As a contractor that bids all the time.
Amen.
It is always low bid, and then it just backfires on a lot of people all the time.
And
on government. It backfires on government.
And if you low bid, Christie, you don't have the media 24/7 reporting on your low bid and how it blew up in your face.
No, no. And if I low bid now, I could, when I was a smaller company or not qualified, you know, I should never have been allowed to do the work. You know, I mean, not if I weren't qualified.
Right. So
we see that all the time in solar.
Yeah, and
companies that aren't qualified because they want the experience, they'll low bid just to get the job. But that doesn't mean they're qualified.
They can do that, right. So my feeling is that the idea that this was this disaster in the making, no, it was absolutely necessary to have happen. We didn't even, the law actually, when you go online and you register, you realize the law is better than even people are talking about. When, as I went through it, I went, oh, my goodness, I qualify for this. I'm going to get a subsidy. And just for you people who think I'm a rich radio guy, I'm getting a subsidy, okay? That gives you an idea how much money's in radio, all right? And I have good health insurance. I got all these things. I got a low deductible. I mean, on and on, and I'm just so happy with it. So it means that for the last year, not last year, 8 months or whatever, where the coverage of this rollout has basically been a pack of lies. It's been focus on the wrong things. It's been focus on the low bid, as Christy Weber just said.
Fear-mongering,
the whole thing. It's
stirring the pot, because the more that they can create doubt, you know, hopefully they'll self-fulfilling prophecy, right? So if they can just sabotage something enough, it could fail.
Right. And that's the point. You wonder why things go wrong when there are certain elements in society who are working 24/7 to make sure they fail. Well, of course there's going to be problems when somebody says, day in and day out, this doesn't work, and the country's going down the drain. Well, of course.
I do think the it's funny though that the story now is that the numbers are wrong.
Oh, they cooked the books, and you know, and that's the funny part too. The right wing looks so silly at this point. They're just absurd. Okay, so after they stop saying that the books are cooked, what are they going to say next? Oh, and what are they going to say if the insurance companies raise the rates? Are they going to go after the insurance companies and go, oh, you darned insurance companies, why aren't you better to the people of America? No, they're going to go after the Obama administration again.
Yeah.
Because
the insurance companies are their buddies.
Exactly. So there you go. I got my insurance. I got mine. And you rich people are paying for it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, no, but that's also part of the fallacy, though, is that
You paid for it. I totally did.
You paid for it. But now, see, you're continuing the myth.
The myth. No, no. It's just me being...
Goofy.
No, but there is a part of us. I have to tell you, you know, I am tier four because of where I live in Wicker Park, just another example. So I cannot get into a good school. I'm lower on because I'm tier four. I'm lower.
I don't even know what that means.
Because I live in a wealthy neighborhood, my kids cannot go to a school that I would like to go to.
Really?
So yes, so I'm I have to go into the lotto, even though I pay more in taxes. But if you're not tier four, you get to go into the better schools. So when I go into the lotto, I'm like 490 with my kid, and I have to go to the worst school in the neighborhood. That's the free school. See, there's just something not right that I pay all these taxes.
I pay taxes too, and I don't even have kids in school, so. You know, I'm paying for them too. You know,
and it's paying for our future.
Yeah, and that's fine. I do not have a problem with that. Okay. I do not have a problem with it, with paying taxes. And that's the other thing, is the idea that, all right, yeah, no, the rich people aren't necessarily paying for my health insurance. I understand that we're all paying for it. It's all part of the society. The idea is that we look out for each other. All of us do. I'm willing to pay taxes to be part of, to take care of my fellow citizens. That's the way this should work, and I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to do my part. Now, Christy, I'm sorry about that. There's nothing I can do. You want to talk to Rahm? You and I? We'll go to Rahm and see if we can figure this out. The Rahm
He's
father.
He's got a big pension problem. He's got to figure out.
I guess so. All right, we got to get Todd's Christy Weber. She's in the studio today.
Hey.
Great sponsor of the Mike Novak Show, Christy Weber Farm and Garden and Christy Weber Landscapes, and but the real reason she's here is because she's good radio.
And I like Mike.
And I got to tell you, at the top of the show, that thing you heard, that was before the show started, our Mr. Sun. Kathleen turned me on to that. I wasn't aware of this. It was a one-hour American 1956 television film in Technicolor, written, produced, and directed by Frank Capra.
I'm going to put it up on the Facebook. Kathleen sent me the link. I was watching it last night.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Hysterical.
And the
guy from Green Acres.
Eddie Albert.
There, thank you.
Who lived to be 99 years old. Did you know that?
Wow.
He died just a couple of years ago. It starred Frank Baxter as Dr. Research, Eddie Albert as the writer, and the voice.
The voice for the son? Because that sounded familiar.
Well, the voice for Father Time was Lionel Barrymore.
I thought so. I kept thinking of It's a Wonderful Life the whole time I was listening.
It was his last project.
Oh.
Believe it or not. So, and it's very cool. And so I had to play that. On the show today, as I said, Christy Weber's here, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on this spring.
Dead boxwoods.
Dead boxwoods.
Everywhere.
I bet. And Rick and Mara Weather, of course, who will reintroduce us to winter.
Yeah.
Tonight exactly. And tomorrow.
We are not plowing.
you put the plows away.
We put them away.
Second hour, Sarah Sorose from Conserve Lake County comes in here with Jim Anderson from Lake County Forest Preserve District. And they're doing great stuff up there. And one of the projects, they're trying to figure out how to get more people to plant and take care of oak trees, because oaks support biodiversity. It's just one of the things we've discovered, and they're a keystone species in northeastern Illinois. So we'll talk about what's going on.
What does that mean, keystone?
Keystone species, again, the biodiversity. Doug Tallamy, who wrote Bringing Nature Home, talks about how oaks support over 500 different species, whereas you get a ginkgo, it supports three. But the reason is it's not native, the ginkgo, whereas the oak, you know, you want native oaks, obviously.
So the oak is really a part of Midwest.
The oaks are a lot, you know, all over the place, but not just, but particularly here in the Midwest, they do a lot. Well, you can ask her yourself when
she comes in.
Cool. And then something you've been hearing on Chicago's Progressive Talk, the Mike Novak Show is going to be broadcast live from The Green Metropolis Festival. That's 2 weeks from today, from 9 to 11. I hope you stop by. I hope you say hi. As the spot says, we might put you on the radio. Mary Beth Rebido, who is the organizer for that, is going to be on the show later on, around 10:45 or so, and talk about the Green Metropolis Festival at the American Heritage Center. That's 4626 North Knox in Chicago. 2 weeks from today, the Sunday after Earth Day, but still going to be a lot of Earth Day stuff going around. So we'll talk to Christy Weber in just right after this. Let's try this again. After this.
Celebrate Earth Month with WCPT in a live on-location broadcast of the Mike Novak Show at the Green Metropolis Fair on Sunday, April 27th at the Irish American Heritage Center on Chicago's North Side. You'll enjoy workshops on organic gardening and sustainable living, yoga classes, activities for kids, great food, and a retail marketplace filled with hundreds of ecological products and services. Admission and parking are free. So what do you think, Mike? Did we cover it all?
Hold on there, Mr. Announcer Dude. You neglected to mention the website, GreenMetropolisFair.com, and my showtime, which is every Sunday from 9 to 11 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, and that during the live remote broadcast, I'll have a number of great guests from the fair to talk about sustainable living and gardening. Other than that, I think you did okay. I'll give you an 8.5 out of 11. I mean 10.
Okay, good. So join us at the fair, and who knows, Mike might even put you on the radio. Learn all about it at GreenMetropolisFair.com. That's GreenMetropolisFair.com.
If you've ever filed a lawsuit, you know that it can be stressful, even traumatic. And if you've been exposed to asbestos, silica dust, or other lung toxins, you're going to need a law firm that can guide you through the legal maze efficiently and effectively. The attorneys of Penn Rakowski are exactly who you're looking for. They view each client and their needs as unique. They're focused on one thing and one thing only, lung disease. And they're based right here in Illinois and Wisconsin. The lawyers at Penn Rakowski have been representing individuals suffering from lung disease and their families for a combined 35 years. And because they're local, they can come to you. They've successfully represented asbestos workers, electricians, carpenters, machinists, and others throughout both states. Contact Penn Rakowski at dustlaw.com or call them toll-free at 888-LUNG-LAW. That's 888-LUNG-LAW. Penn Rakowski, local, committed, caring.
What's the best thing to do about a garden insect problem? Well, that's easy. Prevent it. Don't let it get started in the first place. Bonide's All Seasons Dormant and Horticultural Spray Oil stops garden insects before they hatch, but that's only the beginning. It's an all-natural product that can be used all season long. Early spraying smothers most eggs left behind by last year's plant-destroying insects, and if you use Bonide's All Seasons Spray Oil throughout the gardening season, it will control all stages of insects. It's recommended for use on shade trees, fruit trees, shrubs, roses, and ornamental plants. You'll find Bonide All Seasons Oil at Pasquazi Home and Garden in Barrington and Lake Bluff, Wasco Nursery in St. Charles, and Lurvy Garden Center in Des Plaines, or go to Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you.
Unchain my heart. Baby, let me go. Unchain my heart. Cause you don't love me no more. Every time I call you on the phone, tells me that you're not at home. Unchain my heart. Step me free.
I see on Twitter that the Sea Keeper gals are glad I'm covered. See? And I am, too. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. In the studio with me is the woman, the legend.
Yeah.
And don't breathe. Don't get too close. Don't breathe into the microphone there.
All right.
Christy Weber. Yeah, I know. She gets all excited when she's on the show. It's great to have you back.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, we ran into each other in the coffee shop today. How weird was that?
Yeah.
We were both getting caffeined up for the experience here. Before we get into what's happening this spring and, of course, spring just happened, and it was just a tease because it's going away tonight.
Yep.
And tomorrow, Rick DeMaio will tell us about that. It'll be back later.
All week.
I guess. Yeah. It's just weird. I mean, I got off the train yesterday, and there was some spring in Chicago. Wow.
Everybody out.
I know.
Everybody,
because they've been all cooped up and crazed. My daffodils popped in my yard.
Yeah.
And
they opened up?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. My daffs are opening. Yeah, I took a photo. There's a photo on MikeNovak.net on the homepage.
We'll be as sick of those flower photos as we were snow photos, right?
No.
On Facebook.
Because they're not going to last as long. I mean, that's the whole point. It's just, with the flower photos. You get them, and then the flower. Right. Then you got to move on to the next flower. But before we get to what's going on in the horticultural world, and you and I always, it's funny because our best conversations are off air.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, we can't talk about certain things, because Christy's in on stuff, and I know stuff, and then you go, did you hear about blah blah blah? Yeah, isn't that interesting? But you got new doings at Christy Weber for one thing. The Farm and Garden has its very own website.
Yes, finally.
Oh, wait a second.
Not tagged to ours.
And I almost forgot. I got to play this to open our segment here. You'll like this.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden. Dig it. You make it work for you.
In the Green Room with Mike is brought to you by Christy Weber Farm and Garden at CWFNG.com. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
That's great.
All right. That's your sponsor in this segment.
Thank
now.
You.
So, and glad to have you doing it.
Glad to be a part of your stuff.
Well,
you know?
I appreciate that. You know, you're kind of, you support a lot of good things. You put your money where your mouth is, which is important. And I hear you talk when you do talks and you talk to people, you say, I'm in the city. I'm here to stay. This is what I do. I came in, and it's got to be hard to having a business like this in the city of Chicago. I suppose, you could base it out in the burbs someplace and come on in and do work, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah, easily. A lot cheaper. Absolutely.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
So why?
No city stickers. You know, let's just talk about all the different things I have to pay for that other folks don't. More for gas because, I have tanks in the city. I have all different inspectors that are coming by my shop all the time, telling me that I need to keep everything up nice and neat because I do so much work for the city, which I hate when they say that. just sometimes some real, deciding to be not so nice police and lots of tickets where, where are we going to park? You know what I'm saying? When we're doing work. Right?
Well, but even people who are in the burbs doing work have that issue, don't they?
Well, when we go to the, I'm not sure if they do. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure because we don't do it. We are doing more work in the suburbs, to be honest with you. We're pulling back from doing so much municipal work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, since I acquired Kinsella Landscape.
Yeah, that's right. Your operation just keeps
growing through acquisitions. And so since I acquired.
You're like an amoeba. You just absorb things.
I kind of look at it as help. When George came to us, George Kinsella came to us about the business. It was just like many businesses, like his business. If I hadn't had a great CFO, I'd probably be in the same position as George, as many other landscapers that went out of business.
Starting like 2008, is that?
Yes, just passionate people trying to do what we love to do, not charging enough, not knowing how to manage our money, not knowing, just trying our best. And I think that's when, we talked with George, George was still very passionate and loved his business. Mm-hmm. And, it was just that place. There were so many businesses at that place. So many businesses came to talk to us, but it had to make sense. And that helped us a lot in the commercial world. So when we did this acquisition of Kinsella, then we moved into the commercial world and a little out of the municipal world.
Ah, okay.
Well, a new mayor. little change, you know, for
Well,
me.
That's true. Yeah. You know, for businesses that have been established a while, those things get shaken up a little bit, don't they?
Well, I wasn't sure that Mayor Rahm Emanuel was going to have the same mission, the same ideas and the same dreams that Mayor Daley had. So I wanted to make sure that I moved my business into a place that was a little more secure. If he decided that maintaining the boulevards or maintaining the medians or maintaining parks wasn't important, I just didn't know where he was going to be with this. So,
dare I ask what you think about that now?
You know, I actually think he let his people do their job, and so we're continuing to maintain the boulevards and maintain the parks and. You know,
those jobs you had, you still have.
We still, you know, we've lost some to, you know.
But those things change up all the time anyway.
Every 5 years, there's going to be somebody new.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to see somebody new at the airport 5 years. You're going to see another person new at on the boulevards in 5 years. Every time they put an RFP out, it's going to be somebody new. And it's going to be the same three or four landscapers that can do it. That can afford to finance it.
Yeah. Yeah, because those are big jobs.
They don't pay on time. So if you don't have the banking behind you.
That's the other thing. Yeah, when you're dealing with municipals, when you're dealing with the state, you got to be able to absorb that until that check clears.
Until you even get the check.
You get the check, which is, you know, go through the bureaucracy and wait for that thing to come in.
But it's good money. You know, I mean, it's good money. It's something you can bank on because it's government money. So you're going to get it. But it's going to take a long time. So you have to have a good bank.
That's right. Who likes you and will work with you.
Yes, that's right.
Christy Weber, what are you seeing? I mean, last time you were on the show, last time we talked, it was about plowing. Like the whole. Yeah, I know. It was a curse and a blessing. It was a blessing and a curse, I guess, put it in that order. I mean, I talked to people like Ron Cowgill from Mighty House here. He's a contractor and he does... plowing on the side, and a lot of little businesses add that plowing on the side, and they were all exhausted, and their machinery was breaking down, and because they were working too hard and doing too much, and you were dealing with some of the same stuff, weren't you?
No different, exactly same story.
Yeah,
I have never replaced more paddles on a Toro snowblower in my life. I have never had to change out the iron on the bottom of a plow in a season. Never. I mean, sometimes we could go two seasons without changing out the iron.
Yeah.
You know, that's the blade that you put on the bottom of a plow.
Yeah.
There was a lot of money made by a lot of different, you know, auto mechanics, body mechanics. I mean, just you think about what money was generated for a lot of companies. And I made a lot of money, too.
I made
a ton of money. You know, I mean, we did great.
Sure.
So,
but even that has a downside because...
They were exhausted.
Yeah.
The trucks are beat up, the money I'm going to have to put into them, and we're exhausted. There was no break. It snowed 3 days out of a week. It snowed every weekend except three the entire season.
Really? Yeah. I wasn't actually keeping track of that, but there was a lot.
You lose track of your days because it's an emergency service. There's nothing you can do except think about how you're going to get your equipment back on the road and how you're going to take care of your customers because it is not like cutting grass where you can say, oh, it rained this week. When it snows, you have to be there.
Yeah.
It's an emergency service. If I don't plow your lot that you've contracted me to do, I can be sued.
But you've mowed lawns before, and I know that those guys are out there in the rain sometimes, too, just because that's when the schedule says you're supposed to cut.
Yeah, that's true, but it's not like snow plowing. Huh?
Yeah.
I don't know how to... It's.
Oh, no, I believe you. I totally believe you. So coming out of this crazy winter, crazy cold, as you said, people finally got out yesterday. Okay, the 12th of April, and I saw something DeMaio sent to me. He says, let's see. Yesterday was apparently our first 70 and first 80 degree on the same day.
Wow.
That's weird, isn't it? It was a stretch. The stretch of days without 70 degrees goes back to October 3rd. A span of 182 days,
The
eighth longest stretch in our history, our recorded history, and the longest in 12 years. Prior to that, the next longest was 184 days in 1944.
Wow.
Yeah.
See?
So it shows you how cold, just how cold and how crazy it was. So you mentioned something earlier about boxwoods.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Just they're dead everywhere. Even yews. You know, tough old yews.
Yeah. I always say you can't kill a yew, but apparently you can.
Like Millennium Park. Go look at Millennium Park, how many dead boxwoods, because we maintain it.
Is it because of the cold?
I think it's because we piled the snow on them, you know?
I tried to get my neighbors to stop putting the snow on all of our evergreens, but no. They just piled it.
There was nothing we could do. Honestly, there was nothing anywhere.
Well, my neighbors, we could have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes, if you had the option.
You could have, right.
We had choices. We just didn't make good ones.
But most people did not have a choice. There was no place to put the snow. We were stacking snow like carefully stacking your clothes in a closet. That's how we were trying to just keep snow without having to charge our customers to take it away, and then we ended up doing that anyway, you know?
And I imagine that some places you're plowing, it's the same customer as you're doing the landscaping for, but other places it's not.
No.
Are you a little more careful? I mean, you got to be careful any place you go, but I imagine that if it's a place where you know you're going to have to come back in the spring and fix something that's...
No, after 83 inches, sweetheart, you don't worry about anything. You're just plowing. You're just exhausted. You can't worry about, you know, and half the guys, you know, we hire a lot of roofers to come in and plow for us. So half of them don't even know who our real, you know, who customers are. So
yeah, okay.
I think that's going to be crazy is people are going to try to come back from 3 years ago that we did an install and say, well, you owe me those boxwoods, you know. They're under warranty. Excuse me.
And
can you believe that?
Yeah, I can.
One customer actually fired us because we would not guarantee plants for another 2 years, even though of the snow, and it was all under scaffolding. Like, I'm going to have to guarantee something that you've had under scaffolding for 2 years? Over the 2 years I already did?
Meaning there's no sun.
No sun.
Probably not much rain either.
Nothing.
Getting through.
Oh,
yeah.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
Fired.
And boxwoods are not... They're not that tough, really, are they?
Not to this weather. Wait till you see.
I mean, the other thing is the salt.
It sucks the moisture right out of the ground. Exactly.
You say you're piling snow on them, but...
You're piling the salt.
You're piling the salt on them.
I call it a lot of plants. You know, I call it a salting business. It's not really a plowing business. It's a salting business. So we are... You know, salt.
Well, you still have to plow, but the idea is you're saying the real managing comes when you're putting down the salt.
The real money we make is salting.
Huh.
You know, if we have to drop our blades, we're losing money. Well, the idea is to try to salt, drop a blade, salt all at once, call it a day. That's our best money maker right there. But if we have to come back and push again, which we'd be pushing that salt up on everything, then we're losing money. We're not making as much money. So 4 inches is the best snow for us. So we took a beating.
4 inches is the best snow. That's the optimum snow.
Yeah, exactly. I bet you know, I'm speaking to the snow crowd. They understand this.
Of course. Well, okay, explain why 4 inches is the best snow.
Well, because over 5 inches, I don't get paid any more money, and it is a big push.
Yes.
5 inches of snow. Okay. Over 5 inches, I get paid more money because I get paid extra for over 5 inches.
Okay.
So we try to keep, you know, under 4. So it's all a game of cat and mouse with, you know, salting to try to melt it down, waiting to see how the report might come out. Because if we can get, we really try not to push. We try not to push. We have blades, but we try not to push. We try to salt. That's where we make
because
it.
Of the depreciation, the hardship on the machine.
On the trucks, just in time, you know.
Yeah.
If we can go out and salt, let's just salt. Let's not spend the time pushing snow around.
But
I know
you're a plant person.
I know.
I mean, salt's like the hardest thing to deal with for
can
these
you
plants.
Imagine what this year must be for everything. Buildings. Look at our roads.
Oh my gosh.
I mean. Look at our roads. Look at Armitage. I mean, I've never seen Armitage this bad ever.
I've never seen Fullerton this bad ever. And there's roads that you thought last year going into the fall were decent, that were fine, are now disasters. Disasters.
So I apologize. I was with our guest for the second hour, but because we have a question on Facebook wanting to know how deep should one dig or try to get the salt out of their land, especially for people who are on major thoroughfares?
That's a good question.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Well, if you notice, the city was, they call it syringing. The city was syringing Ashland this weekend, this week. I saw them. And what they're doing is they're turning on the irrigation for 2 to 3 hours to try to syringe out all of the salt from those planters down the medians.
Oh, I didn't see that. So what were they doing?
They go out, they turn on the irrigation, and they leave it running for a couple hours just to try to syringe, try to wash out all of that salt.
Well, and it does help to some degree when you know, if we get a rain tonight, that's actually going to help.
It's going to help, absolutely.
Especially because now the ground is no longer frozen. The water will actually percolate, and it might do some good, but it's possible the damage has already been done to your plants.
Especially the boxwoods.
Hundreds
of them.
I got to tell you.
300 on one gun count. 300.
A couple of times I judged the Dearborn Garden Walk.
Oh.
I've never seen so many boxwoods in my entire life.
And Pachysandra. Yeah.
Exactly. Pachysandra and boxwoods. So just want to tell folks, there's other plants out there, you know.
It's because one landscaper does a lot of work in that neighborhood, and that's her favorite two plants.
See, I told you, there's always dirt here. That's Christy Weber from Christy Weber Landscapes, Christy Weber Farm and Garden. Hang on. I got to take care of some business. Rick's going to come in here. I bet you'll enjoy talking to him as well.
Hello, do-it-yourselfer. Ever thought about gardening? If you can build that window box, you can build a raised bed in your backyard. Bonnie veggie and herb plants in raised beds make a fast weekend project with a big payback. Fresh, grow-em-yourself tomatoes and peppers, kale, basil and thyme, and so much more. Bonnie plants are healthy and strong and help jumpstart your garden. So get growing. Plans and how-tos at bonnieplants.com.
We were just talking here. I said, so Christy, what else is going to happen in the spring? And you said immediately.
Shortages on soil, shortages especially on sod. There's going to be big shortages on
Why?
Sod. Because a lot of the sod farms went out of business. You know, they turned their fields to corn or whatever the next crop was. They just couldn't afford.
Oh, but that has nothing to do with the winter. That's just in general.
But the winter, there's going to be so much sod needed.
Oh, yes, that's
so
true.
Farms that are the sod guys are going to be so overwhelmed and so, you know, unable to provide it. Plus, there's so much restoration work going on with all the utilities right now. So, I mean, you know, they've got their
pulp. That's true, and they're digging up stuff.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just disastrous.
To their credit, they usually throw the seed on there, and some of it's, and then it's up to you to make sure it stays watered because it's not going to germinate by itself.
Right.
They throw those things down. Do you know what you could be doing on Saturday, May 10th? If you had a Purple Leaf Farms CSA, you could be hanging out at the farm in Elgin, planting seedlings, taking a few home, and chowing down on free lunch and snacks. But that's just a bonus and an entirely optional one. You don't have to plant seeds there. Here are the CSA basics. You pay up front to help the farm get their crops in the ground and harvested. And when they're ready for harvest, guess who gets the first choice? Yes. It's you. If you sign on with Purple Leaf Farms, you begin receiving weekly shipments in late June or early July of produce that is fresher than fresh. Purple Leaf employs organic methods, no synthetic chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, or synthetic fertilizers. You receive 6 types of vegetables, 2 types of herbs, and 1 large mixed flower bouquet every week for 15 weeks. Really? Fresh flowers every week. And on May 10th, if you happen to feel like it, you could get your hands dirty on the farm. And it's a really good way to get to know your farmer, Jessica Rinks, who runs Purple Leaf Farms. Order a CSA today from Purple Leaf Farms. You will not be disappointed. For more information, go to purpleleaffarms.com or call 312-437-7542. 312-437-7542.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
And by the way, and I know you still, I didn't play the end of this, which you probably want to hear.
In the Green Room.
You dig?
In the Green Room with Mike has been brought to you by Christy Weber Landscapes at ChristyWeber.com. Right in your own backyard.
That's right.
You said it, sister.
That's right.
My name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And Christy, you're digging it, okay?
Yes, sure am.
And let's bring in the guy who has moves like Jagger. And that would, of course, be our meteorologist, Rick DeMaio. Good morning, Rick.
You have moves like Mick Jagger, really?
Yeah, you do. I thought you did. You don't?
Not today. I'm nursing a cold, so a little Theraflu with a shot of Southern Comfort has put me in a different state of mind.
That's what I've missed, is the Southern Comfort. Didn't tell me that at Walgreens.
That's the key ingredient, Lisa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get the Theraflu. You can get it all, you know, everything now. You know. Well, I guess CVS is not going to sell liquor anymore. Oh, no, that's cigarettes.
Correct.
Right?
Right. Yeah, they still sell you booze.
And, of course, I'm listening. Rob Carthal, who hasn't been with us for a long time, he's been traveling the country. He tweets that, you know, we're on a theme here because he's listening to the show while sipping Bloody Marys. And he's packing his bags. I don't know where he's going. So we got the Southern Comfort and the Bloody Marys.
I'm telling you, Southern Comfort and Theraflu, it works great. It really does.
That sounds dangerous to me.
No, I'm telling you. I mean, you eat it up and it actually tastes pretty good. It's not bad. Yeah. And I guess when you got like some, you know, more of a severe disease, you move up to like Maker's Mark. And then
yes.
If you're really not feeling well, a little sodium pentanol and you're done, right?
Holy smoke. Yikes.
No,
spring, right?
Spring, you know, and I don't know if you heard earlier, Christy Weber's here, Rick, and we were talking about the damage of this winter. And, you know, here we go. We get one
tree perspective, right?
Yeah. From a growing perspective, from plowing perspective. I mean, and you provide forecasts for some plowing services as well, right?
Oh, my God, Mike. This was an amazing story because the company that I was working for several years, Tovar Snow Professionals, I can sit on the air. I was doing stuff for them every day. And believe it or not, after a while, it was a real pain in the neck. they would call me up at like 3 a.m. and say, it's now snowing an hour earlier. What do you think? I'm like, it's the same thing. It's just an hour earlier. Don't worry about it. I put the phone, go back to sleep.
We drove our guys crazy. We drove our meteorologist crazy. Exactly. Exactly, you're saying.
It was absolutely nuts. But that was that lasted for about 3 years. And after a while, I'm like, you know what, guys, I can't do this anymore. I'm not getting paid enough to be woken up early in the morning. Even though I give them the forecast, they're kind of nervous now. So we worked out something different with them this year where I would provide them more of a long-term forecast. And believe it or not, two of their biggest clients was UPS and all of the Chase banks in Northern Illinois and Northern Indiana. Can you believe that? All the parking lots. So I would do something that would go out 5, 6, and 7 days. So it would kind of set up their operation and basically how to manage their resources. And I kind of like that a little bit better. So way to begin of the year, he said, well, I'll give you, you know, this amount of money, and then we'll just make it like a 2-minute discussion. And then 2-minute discussions became 5 minutes. Then they became 10 minutes. He goes, this is really becoming a really, really tough winter, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, it is. The next thing you know, I was doing all this extra work for them, which was actually enjoyable for me. But you can hear every time we got on a conference, these people were literally just beaten up. They went through 3 winters in 1 winter. And, you know, not only you know, the snowplow operators, but it takes about $6,000 to $8,000 of de-icing fluid to remove the ice and to keep it off of a 737. You know how much money that cost the airlines? They spent millions and millions of dollars on de-icing and anti-icing, which is to remove the ice and keep it off, this past winter. So it's been tough on everybody, as just mentioned.
And as we go into the spring, it's tough on our plants that are coming up now. It was interesting. We were talking about the salt and what it does. I got one of the guys, Mark Fredrickson, is listening to the show, and he says, when it comes to cleaning Chicago's corrupting salt, seen as a metaphor by many, my recommendation is to dig deeply.
Love it. Love it.
Thank you, Mark. Well, that's great.
Well, I remember that one press conference where Mayor Emanuel, he really needs a vacation. He's way too serious about everything. If there was one seminal moment, he goes, you have enough salt, you have enough money, streets will get cleared, and we'll be fine. And I think all the reporters are like, okay, we were just asking. But that's how he gets when he's like becomes, you know, extremely defensive. But, you know, strangely enough, as much
Rom, defensive? Come on.
As much snow that we had this winter, it kind of went away slowly, didn't it? It didn't just kind of bust out and melt. And the ground has actually done a really good job of absorbing any rain. We've had somewhat of a dry last 3 or 4 weeks. And even though they still had, you know, some flooding conditions up in central Wisconsin with the rain that fell yesterday, that's really what the problem is going to be up there. We never really developed a flooding setup this year. And you look back and out of the 80 plus inches of snow that we had, you know, you melt it down to 9 inches of liquid water. This ground is just waiting to bust out and evapotranspire all the moisture in the ground through the roots of trees and bushes and grasses. And I really think over the next three weeks, you're going to see some of the greenest grasses and lawns and shrubs that you've ever seen before. But I might add, the ones that survived the winter.
Right.
That's
right.
The best way to put about it. Yeah.
That was
exactly
the point.
Right.
Yeah, because as Christy mentioned earlier, that some of that lawn's going to be gone, and the boxwoods are gone. It's going to be a lot of death and destruction out there.
Yeah, and I noticed when I was driving up through Evanston yesterday, I counted probably about 6 or 7 trees that were just recently cut down. And I know they did some, you know, pruning and culling of the trees over the winter when it was severely cold. But one of the things we always look for after a rough winter like this, going into severe weather season, is whether or not certain trees or branches that were damaged need to come down, because this is the time of the year when you do get these gusts of wind like we had, the storms that moved through
yesterday.
You know, Lincoln, McHenry County yesterday. Yeah, oh, very. Some of the biggest hail I've ever seen. It was almost, I didn't see it, but pictures of it. But, you know, nearly 2 inches in diameter, and it covered the ground. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that'll do the pruning for you. You know, some of those, you know, 2-inch branches will easily come down. But this is the time of the year you go out and inspect the trees and you go, you know what, I think that needs to come down. Don't do it yourself, obviously.
Right.
But that's the stuff that will most likely come down much easier in a 50, 60-mile-per-hour wind than obviously a healthy tree will.
Well, and it's been a brutal winter. It's been a tough winter. It's going to be a lot of dieback. And this is a really good time before the trees leaf out. Take stock. See what's budding, what's not budding, and then get a hold of your arborist and get them out there to do the important work. And don't, as you just said, Rick, don't think you can do it yourself. Because, you know, some guy up there hanging onto one branch branch with an arm and another with a chainsaw, that's a disaster waiting to happen.
Well, let me ask you this. At this point, you really don't know what's going to be healthy or what's not unless you actually begin to see the buds come out. And they're probably at least, what I would say, maybe a week and a half away from completely budding out. So what do you do in those situations?
Well, a good arborist will know, though. I mean, a good arborist will test and look, and a good arborist would be able to get out there and see. So they're going to be busy. These guys are going to be swamped.
Yeah, they are.
But a lot of people don't like to do it. It's almost like going to the dentist. You know, they don't like to spend the money. You know, that you have to do it, but you don't really want to.
Yeah, because it costs money. Yeah.
Yep.
I had one of those things that I bought at, I don't know, it was a Menards or a Home Depot where it's like a pole and you pull it out and it becomes 19 feet. It's got a little thing on the end and you pull it and you pull it and you pull it. And then you pull it down, and next thing you know, the branch comes down and hits you on the head. I would say that that's probably not the best way of doing it.
Although I love those extension pruners, where you pull the string. Those can be really helpful for smaller branches.
Extension chainsaws. They're a blast.
Oh, my God.
That gas-powered extension chainsaws.
No, thank you.
I'll
pass on that.
This was just like a big nail clipper.
Yeah.
And that'll wear your butt right out. About. Your neck will hurt in an hour.
So we had spring yesterday, we got some today, and then it goes back to winter tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, you know, and it's amazing because, you know, typically we always talk about that first day of 70 as like the beginning of spring and like the beginning of spring becoming spring. But we did 70 and 80 all in the same day. So we hit 80 degrees yesterday out here. And that was the first 80 of the year and also the first 70 of the year. And Mike, I think I've seen that happen about five or six times in the last 15 to 20 years. Typically, we see the first 70 about the end of March. And obviously, we did it a couple of weeks later. And I heard you, you know, kind of talk about the data before. So I won't, you know, go into that again. But the bottom line is the rain that we'll get today won't really begin to kind of come together until later on this afternoon. So if you want to do any gardening the next, I'd say 4 or 5 hours, I think you're fine. But if we get an inch and a half of rain out of this, that should be about it. It's not going to be as heavy a rain event as it looked like it was yesterday. So mid to upper 60s today. If the sun comes out a little bit more, low 70s. Cold front goes through about midnight tonight. And this time tomorrow, it's going to feel about 50 degrees cooler.
Wow.
Because the wind will be coming down the length of the lake about 30 to 40 miles per hour. Highs only in the mid-30s tomorrow. Rain mixed with snow. I don't think it's going to stick. And then mid-20s tomorrow, and it looks like we get kind of in a cool pattern for just 2 days, Mike. Tuesday and Wednesday morning, we warm right back up in the mid-50s for Wednesday and Thursday, and then probably getting back in some colder weather next weekend.
All right.
Some stuff on freeze data.
We'll gotta go, Rick.
More next week. Bye, Mike.
Of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Well, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good.
And I'm not playing this song for any particular reason. But although some of our listeners have their Bloody Marys and some have their Southern Comfort. And Christy and I have our coffee and she's going to stick around for the second hour. But a couple of things before we get to Sarah and Jim here. Lisa, you had a comment from one of our listeners.
I did. Carrie Rosenthal posted. She said, Christy Weber makes our city gorgeous. Thank you. Oh. I got to agree.
Thanks.
It's part of her job, yeah. And you do.
Thank you.
And you know, folks should know you've got a LEED building, which is your office,
right.
Rancho Verde,
mm-hmm.
Which is behind the Chicago Center for Green Technology.
That's right.
And it's a cool place to go to. And I kind of like the area, you know, you're tucked back by the rail.
Right.
Tracks, but it's got to be kind of nice to you because it's out of the way.
Yeah, I feel, you know what, they all the thieves cut right across my site because, you know, of course, it's in a really rough neighborhood, but they cut right across my site to go to the Auto Pound to rob all the cars.
And they leave you alone or
they don't even bother us at all. You know, I mean, it's just a great, I love the West Side. I love being out, you know, in the Garfield Park neighborhood. I'm proud to be a part of it and, you know, to try to hire from them and from the people. It's 12 acres. I have goats and chickens and
you got chickens at the farm and garden.
Yeah, at the farm and garden, too.
And that's 2200 West Grand Avenue for folks who want to know. And when you go there, and, you know, we got a commercial coming up for it, but there's you're into urban farming, urban gardening.
Absolutely.
The urban experience,
right? Just into growing food in this. Actually, the big thing we're going to do this year is we're going to take the beds down the middle on Madison Avenue. You know how the beautiful beds at Millennium Park that go up those staircases. We are going to turn those into permaculture beds.
Really?
Yep.
How cool is that? That's great.
Can you believe that?
I can. Absolutely.
It's a big leap of faith, and we're working with a lot of people. We're working with Sandman, Angela Taylor to grow a lot of the food, and we're working with this gal, Anna Marie, who did a lot with her.
She does a lot of the workshops at the Farm and Garden, which you guys do on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. So are they all free? Or sometimes I imagine...
Yeah, all those are free, right. I mean, it's...
So you've got stuff on beekeeping. You got stuff on... I see you've got one on earth boxes coming up.
Right.
The one this week is already booked up, so...
The beekeeping thing was so packed, I think it was a full house. It was unbelievable.
Now, is all of that through Christy Weber Landscaping, or is that through
No,
program?
It's our Farm and Garden. So the Farm and Garden Center, you know, was another acquisition of a very small garden center that was on the corner of Grand and Levitt called Grand Street Gardens. And then we changed the name over to my name because we felt like there was a little name recognition.
Right.
So where it's more of like a community place than... You know, because it's no foot traffic whatsoever. So I can't say
right. You got factories there, and it's an
odd
place.
We're not killing it over there. We're just barely scraping by. So, but it's a great place to send a customer of mine.
Yeah.
And say, go pick up some flowers or go look and see what we have.
Yeah.
Or bees. You know, more and more customers are getting into this urban farming in their backyards. And we are loving it, you know, like we're thinking like little CSAs where we kind of cultivate everything from your backyard and put it in a little box of your own stuff. You know, it's the CSA that you did yourself in your own backyard. We helped you. Christy Weber Landscapes, Christy Weber Farm and Garden. You get what I'm saying? So,
yeah, it's great. One quick question, and then we're going to get on to the Lake County issue. And that is Scott Jameson from Bartlett Tree Care. Wrote, and he says, great to hear Christy, one of the best. How's the labor situation for industry in her view? So if I ask you that question, you're going to go on for 3 hours about this? Is it?
It's not good, Scott. It is not good. Believe me.
Really?
Well, firstly, just finding good labor is terrible. You just cannot. I'm going to put on my trucks. We hire all the time. There just aren't any people that really want to work for, you know, $10 an hour. There just aren't. And if you run a legitimate company and try to stay away from hiring undocumented people, it is very hard to keep people employed. It's a lot, you know. But if he's talking about labor unions, still same nightmare, same drama, same problems.
So whether you're dealing with unions or not, it's a tough market.
Never enough. People just don't really want to. I mean, even on my union side of the company, it's hard to keep people employed, and those guys make great money,
mm-hmm.
and they just don't show up.
That's just weird.
They don't show up. They don't want to work hard. I don't know, Mike. I don't know what's happened. I don't know. It's really
so. What you're saying is things have changed in the 25 years you've been in the business.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think we're all trying to move away from, you know, hiring the undocumented worker. We're trying to stay all American. We're trying not to be that industry that is that industry.
Right.
And I know I am. I mean, I cannot afford to have, you know, I've had every other entity in that's audited me. I really don't need INS in. So we're trying to run all above board, top of the line, good guys, but it's not easy. It's not easy. And no one wants to pay for me to cut their grass more money for me to pay a kid or a man $15 an hour or a living wage. So you get what I'm saying? Like, it's a catch-22. So it's terrible. So anyway.
That's right with me. You know,
I don't know if he's talking about that or he's talking about
unions. Who knows? But that's why I thought I'd just ask a question and see where you go with that.
I wish the unions would wrap their arms around the Latino population and say, this is our people we need to be part for. You know, instead, that's what the unions came on board for, was to help the discrimination of the Irish and the Italians and the different, you know, minorities that moved into this country, and to make sure that the ownership took good care of their workers. And I wish that the unions, Local 4, Local 150, all the different unions would say, our new workforce is this Latino population. We need to wrap our arms around them and go for citizenship, go for something to get them legalized to work in the city of Chicago. And that to me would be a win for the unions.
I totally agree with
Isn't
you.
And
I think we're foolish for, you know, putting up walls and things and saying, well, our future is to shun these people. It's just crazy. All right. Let's move on to now that we've got all that city stuff out the way. Let's go out to the burbs.
That's a problem out in your suburbs too. So,
as Sarah Soros is here, and she's here with Jim Anderson, and Sarah is the conservation and outreach manager for Conserve Lake County. And you and I have been talking for like 3 years to do something on the show, and I don't know why it didn't happen until now, but maybe not quite that long, but we've been talking about it for a while. So welcome. Thank you for coming down.
Thanks, Mike.
And Jim Anderson is Natural Resource Manager, Lake County Forest Preserve District. Jim, thank you.
My pleasure.
And we were talking about the spring earlier, and the spring is manifested in a number of ways, and one is, you know, the snow melts, and you look at your boxwoods that are all beat up, and all the salt that's in your soil. And it's not just in the city, obviously. That happens in the burbs as well. But the other things that are going on, if you look at a grander scheme in the bigger picture, is some of the things that you've told me about, which is migratory songbirds coming back right now. And as you say, they have had a rough winter, too, haven't they, in many, many parts of the country. And in just traveling across, they're tired, they're hungry. Sometimes they cross the Gulf of Mexico. Sometimes they're just going across hundreds of miles of corn and bean fields where there's not a lot of foraging going on. And what, as we come out of this winter, what should people be thinking about in terms of the critters that are coming back?
Well, you know, Mike, the Chicago area is really essential to these birds. They're, you know, some of them have just made it across the Gulf of Mexico, and then they also have to get across those corn and bean fields. And so what's going on in the Chicago region is really critical to them. Some of them are here. They'll be here to stay. Others are continuing further north. And so they need food, and they need places for the ones that are sticking around. They need a place to live, raise their babies.
Uh-huh. And that's some of what you're doing in Lake County. One of the things you point out that I was already aware of, but it bears repeating, is the kind of species we plant is truly important to help not just birds, but all of our fauna. But oaks play a huge role in that, don't they, Jim?
They do, and Chicago Wilderness has really been looking at this. And one of the things that they've been looking at is what's changed over time. Back in the 1830s, we went and looked along the landscape and surveyed every square mile and identified oaks at the corners. And we took that information and compared it to 1939 air photos and 2010 air photos. And we've seen that these oak ecosystems have been disappearing at an alarming rate. They're almost 87% of them have gone. And the Oaks...
87% of... 87, from like 1920 or
from, well,
or from our settlement?
From the pre-settlement, from the 1830s. Yeah. Most of the Oaks were already gone by the 1939 period that we looked at.
One of the things we were really, really, and I've always been really good at is chopping stuff down and just moving it out of the way.
And you know, humans have used oaks for a lot of different reasons. They built roads out of them. They built homes out of them. They used for cooking. And so, it's there. But what we're really finding out is that the oaks are what we call a keystone species for the Chicago region, because we're right in the mix of a lot of different communities. But you find them growing along the lake, right along the lake shore. The black oaks are there. You find them growing in the wetlands. Swamp white oak is an oak species that grow there. You find them growing on top of gravel hill prairies, where the we call barrens, and so they're pretty important. And you know, they right now what they're doing is every one of the oak species are flowering, and that's what a lot of the birds feed upon as they migrate through. So that's a very important concept. The other thing that we found out from our mapping was that a lot of the large blocks of woodlands. We don't have any 1,000-acre woodlands in the Chicago region anymore. Back in the 1830s, we did. We had like two of them. Now we have two 500-acre blocks. So something that Chicago Wilderness and the Forest Preserve agencies are looking to do is to bring back those oaks. And there's a two-pronged effort there. One is just to make more lands with oak trees, but also all of our oak woodlands, because we've humans have come along and suppressed fire. All of our oak woodlands tend to be very old. They're all in the 150 to 200-year-old. Invasive species have come in, European buckthorn and other species, and made these communities more mesic, which means more wet and more shade. And oak species really need shade to get past the little seedling. The acorns will always germinate. But to get from that little seedling stage up to a sapling stage where they can grow up to be an older oak, that hasn't been happening in Chicago.
Wait, you said they need shade. They need sun.
They need sun. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So they they need sun to do that.
And they're getting shaded out by,
invasives.
Yeah.
Right. And so we now have almost all of our oak communities are stocked with really old trees. And we're getting
And something you mentioned, I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but okay. You say we have suppressed fire. And we're not doing ourselves any favors by doing that, are we? In terms of the oaks.
Correct.
And probably other species.
Well, everything is in this area is dependent upon fire. Our prairies, our wetlands. It's a very good tool for the Forest Preserve. It's our best economical tool because we can have the most impact with it. But it recycles nutrients. It burns off the old duff. It keeps the invasive species back. You know, European buckthorn doesn't like fire. And so it's a very good tool to manage our ecosystems and keep them healthy. But we're so far behind the eight ball.
That's such a surprise to me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had a guy. Okay, I got everything in my world right now, I have to admit, relates back to this guy I had on the show several weeks ago. Guy McPherson from University of Arizona, who basically he said, everything's collapsing, and it's really collapsing much faster than we thought. We need to pay attention. And here we are. Mm-hmm. You're saying we haven't been paying attention to this, especially the way we treat our native species.
Correct. There's been this philosophy of conservation, which is buy it and set it aside and leave it be. It doesn't work because humans are part of the natural cycle in this country and, in fact, across the world. There's very few places where humans have not had an impact. So we've got to manage for that. You know, we came in, we suppressed fire, we changed the hydrology by putting drain tiles in. We know that, the farmers were doing that to produce food. It's a great thing. But we now, the thing that's happening in this region is that, there's forest preserves, which is a very unique thing for the United States. There's very few places that have six or seven counties around a major metropolitan area that have set aside land for open space and restoring it back to nature. And we're we're moving along that line. So the good stuff is happening. It takes time. If you think we've been, we've been on the landscape for over 250 years impacting it, to turn that around takes time. But we're doing that. And so one of the methods that we're currently working on with the Forest Preserve is we've just hired a new executive director, and we now are looking at 100 year strategic vision for the Forest Preserve.
And one of the things that you're working on is your Oak Initiative, and that's with Conserve Lake County.
Correct.
And Conserve Lake County, Sarah, started out as something a little bit different, and you've kind of expanded your mission. Explain how that happened.
Oh, definitely. Thanks. Well, we started out, it's almost 20 years now, and we started working just in Central Lake County in the Liberty Prairie Reserve area. Huge partnership in an area over 6,000 acres. More than half the acres have been preserved as open space, private and public landowners. And about 9 years ago, we started a shift, and now we're countywide, helping people, particularly on private properties, so that they can support the kinds of things that we're starting to talk about here, you know, which is huge, the migratory songbirds, the oak recovery. People want to do the right thing. They just need some help figuring out what that is. And so we help people preserve and steward open space throughout Lake County.
And one of the things you do, you have a program called Conservation at Home. You're not the only county that has right. that. That's also done where else in the area?
Kane, Kendall, DuPage, and Will County. It's a program to support people on their private properties who want to do good things for the ecosystem. We brought that program to Lake County about two and a half years ago with funding from Grand Victoria Foundation and put it on steroids. And now,
what do you mean by that then?
Well, so the Conservation at Home program is the brainchild of Jim Kleinwachter at the Conservation Foundation.
Love Jim Kleinwachter.
I know. He's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
And the guys came up with a brilliant idea. He said, you know, what we need to do is help honor and support and recognize the people who want to do good things on their properties, no matter how big that property is. And when we brought it to Lake County, we took that to heart, and we asked our public, private, and nonprofit sector friends, what should that look like in Lake County? And, you know, there's just not enough resources to go around. And so the Forest Preserve District, Stormwater Management Commission, the other nonprofit groups, they all worked together with us to talk about what that could look like in Lake County. So what we offer is property visits to any kind of property in Lake County, whether it's a residence, a business, a school, a church. And we'll spend hour and a half with someone on their property and help you understand. By the time we leave your property, you'll know if you have ecological treasures on that property, what they are and how to protect them. And you'll know if there's ecological challenges on your property and what those opportunities are. And you'll have identified one or two really good projects that fit your goals and passions and pocketbook and fit your property. And then, of course, anyone whose property meets our criteria, you're certified in the program. And you receive recognition, societal approval for having done good things.
Do you go on those assessments?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And I've got two really good, fabulous people. Mary Fortman and Cindy Duda. I've learned so much from them. They're phenomenal.
What is one of the coolest trees or the most, like, you just couldn't believe when you walked up to this site that this, you'd never seen it before, or something that just blew you away?
Maybe a specimen, because I know you're protecting oaks. You must have
something like
every property and property owner has got such a cool story. There's some really neat stuff going on. really neat stuff. I don't know where to begin. People who have encouraged their grandchildren to pick out, you know, do the research when they hit a certain age and pick out a tree that would do well in that site and plant it and care for it. And people who plant trees in honor of people who have passed away or in honor of their marriages or the births of their children. I mean, the stories are phenomenal. The trees, the gardens, you know, and everyone's situation is so different. Some people, they're tackling, you know, a lot of people, they understand that buckthorn is bad and they want some help getting rid of it and still meet their privacy needs. That's fine. That, you know, we'll help them understand that.
Okay, that's a difficult one because obvious. Nah?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, I thought it was because you said still meet their privacy needs. So if you keep any of that stuff around, it's going to spread. Can you convince people that they should get rid of all of their buckthorn?
We'd like to. That would be a goal for we've recently talked about with Lake County Forest Preserve is taking the leadership to say we can eradicate buckthorn in Lake County or the Chicago region. And there's plenty of opportunities to work with conservation at home and convince people that planting a hazelnut will provide you just the same amount as
Or a black hawk, frogs
everywhere are celebrating. Frogs everywhere are celebrating right now.
Yeah, that's right. We did a thing on the show a while back that showed that
amphibians are the first canary in the coal mine.
That buckthorn actually might have allelopathic properties that are preventing amphibians from eggs from hatching or from amphibians from surviving. Well, it's just amazing.
And it's a diuretic for the songbirds. They eat those berries, and you see them eating those berries. You don't realize that they're actually losing more energy than they're gaining. But that research was done in Lake County.
Right.
And Lake County's ground zero for buckthorn. It's pretty common. And it was brought in as privacy screening. But, you know, for a lot of folks, when they realize...
By the landscapers. By the landscapers.
Look at that woman over there. Christy, okay?
And her grandmother, her great-grandmother.
But you know what? It's like
landscapers.
But it's like trans fat. You know, who knew? You know, okay, now we know. Let's get rid of it and move on.
And that was my point. I mean, going back to the 90s, I remember the battle in Chicago where this is when we were first starting to really become aware of this and just how pernicious buckthorn was. And we had this columnist in the Sun-Times who was fighting that effort because he says, how dare you take away people's screening? How dare you take away their trees? Those are living, growing things, and there's nothing wrong. You know, the eco-police are coming to take away our trees.
Right. So you got to think about that whole story, and I think part of it was that the public really wasn't educated about it. And I think that's a big thing of conservation at home. These are our neighbors. Many of these people that are registering their homes are living right next to the forest preserve.
Yeah.
And if you can educate them as to, okay, why buckthorn is bad, and, well, wait a minute, there's an option here. And
you're killing frogs, okay? You just start there.
But you are. But, you know, there's good stories. Just this past week, we heard wood frogs at one of our forest preserve sites. And we haven't seen them here since the 1980s.
Wow.
And so wood frogs are, you know,
It's working.
It's working.
I'm a frog monitor.
Yeah.
Are you a frog monitor?
I haven't gone out yet because I've been sick, though, so I'm trying to get out soon.
where are you monitoring?
Today's the day.
I'm going to go out to Grant Woods up by my folks' house.
Well, that's a Lake County site.
Right. So it's great. Yeah. So there's some really, you know, that's one of the sites that what the Forest Preserve's trying to do, essentially go in with very heavy equipment and take the buckthorn out. And then we follow up with a follow-up because buckthorn's been in these woods for over 70 years. That's, you know, the age of these buckthorns. And so they're very prolific. They grow immensely and produce a lot of seed. And so it's like, you know, it's a point where you just got to say this system's not healthy. And the only way to get it healthy is to go in and do some really big surgical removal of the buckthorn. Now, what we have with Conservation at Home and the Forest Preserve's Volunteer Stewardship Program is that they can come into some areas that are really high quality, like Grant Woods. There's a bog at Grant Woods. And they can come in and do it with more care and light touch. But still, that's another opportunity to educate those folks. When people see this stuff coming down, the Forest Preserve has recently done a big effort on their Sunland Displaying sites of going in and opening up the canopy because there's still not enough light for those oaks to come
in.
And so we did a very intense program of public marketing before we even started the program to explain to everybody what's going on in the woods and why we're doing it. And I think it caught on with some of the people at Conservation at Home because there's over 600 people.
Yeah, we've got over 600 properties enrolled in the program right now. And you know, what's kind of cool is we're happy to go on any property. Someone's just getting started or someone's really far along. And what people, they want to get rid of the buckthorn, but then the question is, well, now what do I plant? What do I put there? And so we found out that one of the biggest barriers to this is access to the species that work from a landscaping perspective as well as a nature-friendly perspective. So those native viburnums and other species that people are looking for, the oaks, et cetera, there have not been a lot of places in Lake County to purchase those things. So now our plant sale.
Isn't that something?
Well, you know, we're there to fill the gap.
Possibility places is one of
our supporters.
And I know,
that's expensive. So, as a massive planting person like I am, I have to have the right price to bring it in. So you can tell that landscape architects are not going to design it in because it's not going to be available at a commercial rate where we can throw in 1,000 of them in 5 minutes.
Well, that's where the education comes in, though, because
we'll
it's okay to be.
We are.
How many plant sales that occur in?
And you got one coming up, and we need to break here. But we're going to get to the plant sale. We're going to get to a question that Christy asked in the first hour about oaks, which is why are they so important? I want to fully go into that and tell you what, even if you can even while we're away, talk about different species.
Absolutely.
that people can plant, because that's always the problem when I say this and folks come on the show and say, oh, there's all kinds of great things, and then they don't get specific. And then people go, well, I didn't learn anything from
that. We'll give you more details than you've ever heard.
All right. In the studio, Sarah Sarose from Conserve Lake County, Jim Anderson from the Lake County Forest Preserve District. Also, the irrepressible Christy Weber, who's asking as many questions as I am. So this is great. I got some help. And Lisa Albrecht in the booth. We're keeping her separate because she's still getting over bronchitis. But it's not contagious, is it? I don't think she's nodding. No, it's not. Our phone number, 773-763-9278. I see that Chris is on the line. Anybody else want to call and ask a question? Perhaps how to get involved with Conservation at Home or how to get involved with Preserve Lake County. Conserve Lake County.
Yep.
Conserve Lake County.
And I'm looking, and I was working way on my cheat sheet. That I wrote. It says Conserve Lake County. On my website, which I wrote, it says Preserve Lake County. So
fix it.
Fix it. Kathleen, fix it. She's at home doing that. And we will get back in a second. Now, it looks as though spring finally arrived. And then it's going away for a few days. That's just going to go away for a few days. That's Chicago. But it will be back, we think. Meanwhile, pick up a copy of the March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. You might get some ideas for when summer arrives sometime in August. There are always articles about inspired gardens, whether in the city or suburbs. And not so coincidentally, there are two stories about two different magnificent gardens, one in the Peterson Park area of Chicago and one in suburban Lyle. The City Mouse garden is less than 1,000 square feet, but was designed to accommodate the kids during the week and the adults on the weekend. The Suburban Mouse garden, was on an acre and designed to accommodate a multi-tiered limestone patio. Both designs, by the way, will inspire you. Then there's my column on the inside back page. It will inspire you to reach for the liquor cabinet. We've been talking about that today. Yeah. Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine at locations all over Chicago. Better yet, get a subscription. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Celebrate Earth Month with WCPT and a live on-location broadcast of the Mike Novak Show at the Green Metropolis Fair on Sunday, April 27th at the Irish American Heritage Center on Chicago's North Side. You'll enjoy workshops on organic gardening and sustainable living, yoga classes, activities for kids, great food, and a retail marketplace filled with hundreds of ecological products and services. Admission and parking are free. So what do you think, Mike? Did we cover it all?
Hold on there, Mr. Announcer Dude. You neglected to mention the website, GreenMetropolisFair.com, and my showtime, which is every Sunday from 9 to 11 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, and that during the live remote broadcast, I'll have a number of great guests from the fair to talk about sustainable living and gardening. Other than that, I think you did okay. I'll give you an 8.5 out of 11. I mean 10.
Okay, good. So join us at the fair, and who knows, Mike might even put you on the radio. Learn all about it at GreenMetropolisFair.com. That's GreenMetropolisFair.com.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Oh, I love the conversations off air. It just it gets really intense here. If you want your lawn to have the right stuff, you need the right seed. Not just good seed. Not even great seed will do it. You need the right seed. That's where Bonide comes in. Their DuraTurf grass seed mixes use the best varieties of grass seed for your growing conditions. Bonide's Full Sun Mix, for example, combines fine textured blades with durable heat resistance. The Dense Shade Mix is ideal for seeding where the sun peeks in for only a few hours a day. When you start using Bonide's Full Sun, Sun and Shade, or Dense Shade grass seed mixes, you'll have a lawn that is self-repairing and resistant to disease and grass nasty insects. These grasses will even grow in soil that isn't perfect, and we got a lot of that around here. So start planting this year's lawn right now. You will find Bonide's DuraTurf grass seed at these fine stores. Allsip Home and Garden in Frankfurt, Atrium Garden Center in Lake Zurich, It's Lake Zurich. And Village Green in Rockford, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you.
From simple to gourmet, nothing's fresher or tastier in recipes than homegrown, vine-ripened veggies and savory herbs. Do you grow your own? With Bonnie Plants, a kitchen garden at your back door or in containers can produce an amazing harvest for cooking and for sharing. Find how-tos, plans, and more at BonniePlants.com. Your recipes might not change, but your results sure will. Fresh, healthy Bonnie veggies and herbs. Get growing.
We're going to have the good folks from Bonnie Plants on the show in a couple of weeks to talk about some of the stuff they're doing. Now, don't quote me, but I think there was a spring sighting this week, which means that you're starting to think about having a beautiful landscape. But if you're listening to this show, you probably want to be kind to the environment, too. How do you balance that? By using Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer. For more than 85 years, Milorganite has been practicing sustainability using natural organic material that is not based on the petroleum industry. Its slow-release, goof-proof formula provides consistent feeding, and it's safe for your children and pets. In fact, Milorganite is the nation's oldest recycler, focusing on reduction of consumption, waste, and emissions. And it works. Use Milorganite for all your lawn and garden needs. Visit Milorganite.com to find a garden center near you. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. In the studio, I've got Jim Anderson from Lake County Forest Preserve District, Sarah Sarose from Conserve Lake County, I'm getting that right, and of course, Christy Weber from Christy Weber Landscapes and Christy Weber Farm and Garden. What was that intense conversation going on in that other side of the room while we were? It was
about volcano mulching.
That was part of it. As I
just
said,
about how mulch is mulch killing the oak trees. And also our voracious fall cleanups, where we come in and we blow every leaf we can find with our blowers off of a yard. And this even happens out in Lake County in the oak savannas. Like a homeowner might have 10 oaks on their yard. We will blow every darn leaf because they ask us to, and I'm sure that doesn't help them. Is that correct?
That's correct. And one of the things that...
Can you teach them that we don't need to blow all those leaves, please?
Well, you got to...
You're in the business. I can't believe you're saying this because, you know, this is...
People want a beautiful property, and they also want to do the right thing. And so we help them find that balance, that middle ground.
They're also neatness freaks, okay? We have to stop realizing that nature is not necessarily neat. It can be.
It can be very neat.
But our kind of neat is destructive.
To a degree, I just really feel you can have your cake and eat it too here, because I've been on so many properties now where people, gorgeous properties that anyone would be thrilled to live there or have that as a neighbor, and those properties are supporting wildlife and clean water and rich soil in very wonderful ways. So, you know, you can put native trees in and native plants in a row, and you can make it very, very tidy. Tidy to a degree. The mulching, we just see, you had mentioned volcano mulching. Some of these trees do have too much mulch, or it's packed up around the trunk of the tree, and that's not good. And so we teach people about getting it, more of a donut shape than a volcano.
We have it in our specs. Most of our municipal contracts have a requirement, and they will measure it with a tape measure, that we automatically, no matter what, put down 2 inches of mulch or 4 inches.
2 inches is fine. 4 is getting excessive.
Yeah, it's like...
But 2 inches every year. Every single year for years and years and years and years. Well, they never change the spec, or they don't use their head or say, let us experts tell them what to do.
So go to our website, conservelakecounty.org, and you'll find out how to mulch properly.
No, they need to.
Or you can work with the Midwestern, Mila, what's that called?
Midwest
Ecological Landscape Alliance, which I am the co-founder of.
Right.
Yes,
you are. That's right. And so we would encourage to get information on there. I live in a very tight subpack neighborhood and I have like a quarter acre. But what I've done in my backyard is taking things out of grass and put it back to native species. And so there's an oak that's growing that I planted when I moved there. It's now 25 feet tall.
Nice.
Mine's bigger than yours.
Yeah, but you started earlier.
No. I just love my oak.
And when did you plant yours?
I've got 3 in my yard.
They're 150 years old?
No.
Oh, they weren't there? When you moved in, you planted them.
But you guys are making a really good point, which Connor Shaw at Possibility Place makes to me all the time, which is oaks, the rap on oaks is that they grow too slow. He says, not my oaks, not the ones that I raise.
Right. And if you choose the right oak for the right spot and you care for it well, it's going to do great.
Yeah,
and knowing which oak to plant for which spot is important.
Let's go to that real quick, because in the first hour we were talking about oaks, and I was talking about Doug Tallamy, who has written about who's everybody references now, because when you come up with a good idea, it resonates.
Well, he came up with the science to show. I shouldn't say came up with, but some of the work he's done shows.
It's a wonderful book called "Bringing Nature Home," and he talks about the value of oaks. Now, oaks are not just here, they're all over the planet, but are they more important in our ecosystem? And Christy was asking, why are oaks so important? And we got to talking about the ginkgos, which is a good hardy tree, but doesn't support a lot of biodiversity.
Right.
So what is it about oaks and our particular ecosystems here?
Keep the ginkgo, it's beautiful, but recognize...
Really, because I was thinking about taking it down. No, it's in my backyard.
Keep it.
And
it's beautiful. It's not doing any harm. No, and that's the difference. You know, you want, you know, it's okay. I've got a lilac in my front yard. No one's going to take away my lilac bush. It's not doing any harm. But if you're going to be planting some more things, think about things that can contribute greatly to this local landscape of ours. These signature oak landscapes are critical to the songbirds and the butterflies that people are so excited about seeing around here. And those birds are winging their way up here right now. These next couple weeks, we're going to be seeing all the warblers starting to move in. The first sighting of a ruby-throated hummingbird was just about 2 days ago in southern Illinois. They should be here within 2 weeks.
I had a friend. I met a guy in Door County just last week who said spring moves 10 miles a day. And I don't know if it's true, but it sounds cool, doesn't it?
Well, it makes its way up here in waves, and part of that's going to depend, of course, on how strong those southern winds are, bringing you know, the birds back and bringing things out of hibernation, such as the bats and the dragonflies will be moving back in here soon as well. Mm-hmm. But back to the oaks and why they're so important. Doug Ptolemy has documented over 500 species of butterflies and moths alone that rely on oaks. I don't know that I'd say that they're more important here than in other areas, but the oaks, there's about a dozen species of them that are native to the Chicago region. And as a group, collectively, not just one species here, but as a group, they and their associates, the hickories and others that live with them, they greatly influence, I don't want to say everything, but, you know, a huge amount of other species that are here, plants and animals. Mm-hmm. And they're gorgeous.
And they are. And they're just wonderful trees. Let's take a real quick phone call. Let's go to Chris in Palatine. Good to hear from you, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning. Forest preserves are one of my favorite topics. I happen to live across the street from Deer Grove West Forest Preserve. And last fall I was in there and I was talking to the manager of the Forest Preserve. We were just chatting in the parking lot for a little bit. And he was mentioning that Deer Grove, which had traditionally been in hickory, ash, and oak, you know, preserve woodlands, you know, is now changing. And he was telling, you know, of course, the ash are all being cut down, but the oaks, he was telling me, are dying off because the saplings are dying. You know, they'll seedlings will grow, but they'll grow to, you know, a couple of inches in diameter, and then they'll die off.
You're getting some nods here, Chris. Jim, what's that? Is that about that shade issue?
It exactly is. If you think about our impact upon the land. 200 years ago, we started suppressing fire. So all of these oaks that were growing, and some of the oaks have who have been impacted by fire time and time again, you know, maybe annual burns, instead of growing up, they grow out, and they form these grubs underneath the ground. And so they're very intense systems. And so when you stop the fire...
Not a bug grub.
Yeah. I call them oak grubs because they're grubbed back down.
You say grubs on this... people start reaching for the product on the shelf there.
Leave the product there. This is a good thing. So, you know, when the fire stopped, all these oaks came up, and they all came up at the same time. So you look at our oak woodlands right now, our age is, you know, 150 to 200 years old. They're all the same. They're very old trees, and some of them are dying off. But it really goes back to that there's too many trees in the canopy, and there's not enough sunlight getting to the floor. So it impacts the oaks, but it also really impacts the summer and the fall flora in our woodlands because they don't get the sunlight either, and so they don't come upon. You can see the spring flora. You know, they come up before the trees leave out, and so they're really not impacted by it. But these oak systems grew up on the edge of wetlands, on the edge of prairies, on the side of ravines, and so they are a very unique system. They provide a lot of they provide flowers during the spring for the birds. They provide acorns, and when a tree falls down, it starts decomposing. That's, you know, in the end, that's where salamanders live. So places like Deer Grove and MacArthur Woods, where we're doing a project to open the canopy, we're working with the Morton Arboretum. Dr. Robert Fahey there has been guiding our efforts there to open the canopy, get more light in there. And Sarah's seen it already. these woods look 100% different now when we've taken out all the buckthorn, a lot of the sugar maples that are growing underneath it that have come up in the shade situation and actually opened up canopy. We're doing a couple of different methods. One is to like cut open a big hole in the woodlands, or we cut out little gaps here and there, or we just do clearing and clear out and reduce the number of trees. And so we're doing a couple of different methods. We're looking at the oak tree responses, and we're also looking at the wildlife responses.
And then when we're on our property visits as Conservation at Home, you know, it's funny. We walk onto the property, and people understand already that they, if they have got a big old oak on that property, that that's an ecological treasure. What they're surprised at is when we go walk right past that and go point out the 12-inch tall oak that's buried underneath everything else out there. And, you know, these little baby oaks that we're finding on the properties, we're like, no, that's your ecological treasure right there. Yeah, take care of the big oak, but it's this little guy who needs some help.
Because it's the future. Chris, anything else?
Well, no, the only thing I'd like to say is thank you for purchasing that farm that was next to Buffalo Creek and not put another Menards up there on Lake Hook Road.
Good.
Happy to help.
Anything to keep a Menards out, I say. Okay. Thanks for calling, Chris. I appreciate
it. Any big box store, right?
That's what I meant. Yeah. I mean, using that as a symbol for any big box store, you know, that's our other problem, too, is that we're just carving up this land and we pave everything over and it's all, you know, in the 21st century, why are we asphalting anything anymore? That's what I don't go. Why are we not at least let the water percolate back into the soil?
Another question I wanted to ask you is that I feel like irrigation is just killing in the city so many of our old oaks and our old trees on properties. When we, like, say if they build a new public school and we leave some of the trees on, I cannot tell you how many we've killed with just irrigation to keep the grass alive. This over irrigation is unbelievable. And homeowners, too.
We encourage people to think about how much lawn they really need and help them understand how resource intense it is. Look at ways to conserve the water and put it to good use.
All right. Before I let you go, because I got to get to Mary Beth Rebido, your plant sale. Let's make sure we get a little information out that very quickly.
So right now people can, you know, it's hard to find native plants. I'm not really sure why that is. But these cultivars, they're not doing harm oftentimes, but it's the native ones that are so good. So our native plant sale is online live right now through the end of this month at conservelakecounty.org. You can shop online. And then you can shop on site next month for 3 weeks are open from closed on Sundays, but open 9 to 3 every other day of the week. And you can shop in the woods.
Shop in the woods.
Yes.
And can they just go to conservelakecounty.org to find out the information?
That's right.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for coming into the studio, Sarah Sarose and Jim Anderson.
Our pleasure.
And keep me posted. You know, want to know what's going on up there. And Mary Beth Rebido is coming up in just a second.
If you've ever filed a lawsuit, you know that it can be stressful, even traumatic. And if you've been exposed to asbestos, silica dust, or other lung toxins, you're going to need a law firm that can guide you through the legal maze efficiently and effectively. The attorneys of Penn Rakowski are exactly who you're looking for. They view each client and their needs as unique. They're focused on one thing and one thing only, lung disease. And they're based right here in Illinois and Wisconsin. The lawyers at Penn Rakowski have been representing individuals suffering from lung disease and their families for a combined 35 years. And because they're local, they can come to you. They've successfully represented asbestos workers, electricians, carpenters, machinists, and others throughout both states. Contact Penn Rakowski at dustlaw.com or call them toll-free at 888-LUNG-LAW. That's 888-LUNG-LAW. Penn Rakowski, local, committed, caring.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine.
If you're a green, natural health, or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city and north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
We're in the home stretch on the Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. It's been great having Christy Weber in here for the whole show, and I got to figure out which mic you're on there. I think that's the one. And just so you know, you can always go to Christy Weber Farm and Garden.com or CWFNG.com, and it makes it easier or harder if you can't remember the initials, but you can go. Both places will get you there. And lots of great stuff, including chicken fun facts. I like that on your site. And of course, ChristyWeberLandscapes.com, always available. Now let's go to the phone because we are going way out there, or way down there, I guess. Mary Beth, are you there? Mary Beth?
Hey.
Whoa. Hello? Uh-oh. We lost the line. Okay, try it again. Okay, I'm going to start telling you what why she was here. Here's the deal. Mary Beth is in Argentina.
Oh.
Wow. Oh, nice. I know. She's here to talk about, and we'll see if Lisa can get her back, to talk about the Green Metropolis Fair, Sunday, April 27th, 10 to 5 p.m. at the American Heritage, the Irish American Heritage Center, 4626 North Knox Avenue in Chicago. It's a free event. I'm broadcasting there from 9 to 11, the usual time for the show. We want folks to show up. And you participated in this a couple of years ago, and it's a lot going on. Now, they were at the Green Exchange then, and now they're at...
Was that one of their first years? How long have they been?
I think that was their first year.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. They've got family-friendly activities, farm animals, composting, garden stalls, a retail market with local sustainable business vendors, a food market with local restaurants and chefs, presentations on organic gardening.
It was big.
I remember.
Yeah, lots huge. Going.
Yeah, it is huge. Ron Cowgill was there from Mighty House, where he had his wind turbine out in the side. I think it was next to you guys.
Yes, it was.
Because you guys had a trailer there.
We had that first set up as a food truck, right? You know, I mean, we were in a food truck.
Right.
We were selling
plants,
but
it was cool.
I pulled my big truck up there.
I liked it. I thought that was pretty cool. Lisa, any luck there? No, she's going, okay. You know, I didn't know whether Argentina would come through, but that's okay because I want folks to know that we're doing the show there. It's a great location, easily accessible by car, by subway, train. There's a Montrose stop. And also buses that'll get you there. The link is greenmetropolisfair.com. They also have a Facebook page. Go to Green Metropolis Fair on Facebook. It's going to be going all day long. Let's see, what's the time of the event? Three.
She's
really, really quickly. Three? Are you sure it's three? No. Wait. I can't tell. That's a three, but line three has nothing. Okay. No. Line three is not available. Do you mean line two? No. Okay. Well, I'm not sure.
See her on this one. Line two?
Line two? Well, that's what it says, line two, but I'm not sure she's there. Hello? No. Okay. Not there.
So it's I think we've our moment has passed here for that to happen. But it's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Go to Green Metropolis Fair, and I hope folks show up and stop by, say hi. Maybe you'll end up on the radio. You know, we'll talk to her next week. She'll be back in town. We'll do a talk to Mary Beth next week. We'll get a preview of the event, and it's a great event.
Why did she decide to do this? I mean, what was the...
Well, that's what I guess I should ask her. I don't know. I mean, she's obviously has a vested interest in people understanding sustainability and doing things
and
the right way.
Bringing them together.
Yeah. So. I want to tell you very quickly, my buddy Dan Costa at Vern Goer's greenhouse in Hinsdale wrote to say, when we were talking about the effects of the winter, he said there are lots of dead or burned boxwoods and yews in the suburbs. He says he thinks they couldn't get any moisture from the frozen soil.
Oh, good, yes.
On all the sunny days. He says, I have customers calling about them almost daily. But here's the thing he adds. He says, I doubt the forsythia and maybe other flowering shrubs will bloom this spring.
Really?
Now, I don't know. Wouldn't that
So does that mean that, like, the Korean spice viburnum?
I don't know.
Because they come in before the lilacs.
No, I would think. I think I've seen buds, but, you know, it was brutal for some of them.
I always thought it was the salt, but he's right. There was so much frozen. Somewhere there were 4 feet of frost in the ground.
It was just
in some of the suburbs.
Just crazy. Just crazy. Well, Christy, always a pleasure having you here.
Being with you.
Thank you for coming in. Sorry, Lisa, that didn't work out with Mary Beth, but we'll do it next week when she's actually in town. And so at this point, I say go green ore, and you say go home. You know how that works on the show? So
I do.
Yeah, okay. You can do it too, Christy. Go green or?
Go home.
Where we sounded really excited.